Hello, listeners of Good Word. This is Bruce Johansson, professor of biblical studies in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Again, I'm your host for Good Word this summer. We are studying about agents of hope in the Bible, and this time we are going to discuss the supreme agent of hope, Jesus Christ. To assist us in our discussion of Jesus and his agency in this world, I'm pleased again to welcome two of my colleagues, Dr. Carl Kosart and Dr. Paul Dibdahl. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The agent of hope, Jesus Christ. I think if there's any person for me among all the religious people in the world, Jesus and hope are the most wonderful fit. As somebody myself who grew up among many religions, I had to think through what my options were. Was I going to stay with the Lord of my childhood, or was there something else? And I have to say that when all was said and done for me, hope was what Jesus gave me in a way that nobody else did. And so this is a wonderful lesson. What about Jesus makes him convincing, attractive, believable, an agent of hope for you gentlemen?
I want to start in a way that I don't think a place where we don't typically start, at least in our society, and go back to, you talked about your early years, Bruce, and my early years. I was born in northern Thailand, and I say we, it was my parents who were working primarily with various tribes people there in northern Thailand who were animists.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, the thing about Jesus, which was at least initially the most incredible to them, the thing that provided the greatest news to them, was the graphic evidence that Jesus was more powerful than the spirits that they were so afraid of. And we tend to start somewhere else. You know, what is it that attracts us to Jesus?
Yes.
But for them, that was the good news. That was great news to proclaim one who was not only more powerful than the spirits, but unlike the spirits, one who actually cared about them and loved them. So that combination, very simple kind of combination of a very powerful being that also cared for them, that was good news for them, and I think it's good news for all of us.
So in a sense, I think what you're saying is that Jesus kind of takes away our fears, and so where our greatest fears are, we see his power to transform our lives. I mean, their fear was animism, right?
So yeah,
it gave them hope.
Yeah.
I mean, for me personally, you know, I could look at it from a theological perspective, you know, academia and all the truths of Scripture and so forth. But for me, more recently, my personal life is my own sense of fear of death.
Yes.
And I don't think about death too often until my daughter died.
Yeah.
And so for me now, the resurrection offers me hope that I can find nowhere else. Mm-hmm. I can find good teachings in other religions.
Yeah.
Good information even that can benefit me on how to live this life. But ultimately, is the hope of the resurrection that
in a real resurrection,
yes,
you know,
yes,
with real people that we'll be able to be reunited with.
Yes, and that makes a world of a difference. Do you find that nowhere else in any other world religion?
Yeah. So it's not simply fear of death. It's the longing and the joy and the promise of reunion.
Yes,
because death is conquered and
death
by
is
the
conquered.
Resurrection.
You know, both of these are thoroughly rooted in the New Testament. You take the hymns that we have recorded in Paul's letters, and in First Peter chapter 3, the victory of Christ over the principalities and the powers is a very powerful theme. And there's also one in Romans where somebody has that wonderful passage in chapter 8, where nothing can separate us from the love of Christ.
Beautiful.
Neither the height nor the depth, which has been taken in terms of the rising and declination of the stars, who were representatives of powerful malevolent beings, and people lived in enormous fear of them. Even they cannot separate us from the love of God. So that's there.
Yes.
And then I think of the book of Hebrews. There's an incredible passage in chapter 2, starting with verse 14. I'm going to read it because it comes to what you were talking about, Carl. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. That's an amazing passage. So this Jesus, who gives us so much hope and relieves us from our fears, how do we get to know about him? And how do we know that this message is reliable and believable?
Well, of course, our ultimate ground would be the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Prophecies in the Old Testament and also the fulfillment in the New Testament.
Yeah. That would be one of them. Mm-hmm. One of the most powerful, I think. Think of Isaiah 53 and other passages. Isaiah 41 is another one. That is a very powerful passage.
How about the many people in the world who don't have access to the Scriptures? How might they come to know about Jesus?
Yeah. It's interesting. Paul does speak about them, that they have a sense of God's presence in that God gives them life and what supports life, and that there's a gratefulness and a thankfulness. What about them, Paul?
I think that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has a way of reaching out to people, even to people. It's going along with what you just said, Bruce, but that the Holy Spirit is still able to reach people, even though they may not have immediate access to the words of Scripture.
Yes. Yeah.
And certainly Scripture presents a fuller, clearer picture, but people can somehow learn about a God of love. I think that the Spirit speaks directly to people sometimes through dreams and visions and through nature and those kinds of things. Yeah. And people can learn of a God who cares for them and loves them.
And I think that very often people who are people of the book tend to forget that. Mm-hmm. And it becomes kind of a circular thing. The Bible is inspired. We believe the Bible. Therefore, we believe Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we forget that actually the Bible is witness by trustworthy witnesses, the apostles, eyewitnesses. Mm-hmm. They saw him. They touched him. What kind of people were they? Is there a coherence between their words and their lives?
Yeah.
So that would, for me, be another evidence that this is a believable. The witnesses of the resurrection, for me, is very important.
I like that you said evidence, Bruce.
Not
you didn't
proof.
Say proof,
right.
But you said
yes.
evidence. And I think that's an important, good evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're saying so far that Scripture is one piece of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one, I think you said you mentioned, is personal experience, life transformation.
Yes. Yeah. When you open the Old Testament says, taste and see that God is good. Mm-hmm. And I think 1 Peter chapter 2 picks that theme up about tasting the goodness of God. And for me, that's one of the most powerful ones, that when I do open myself to God in the way that Jesus has portrayed him, that he is not vindictive, that he is loving, that his whole act in Jesus Christ, you know, comes from mercy and grace and love. And when I open myself to that in my own life, I feel that power changing me in a way that I have not been able to change otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
That's a witness, again, to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about the particularity of Jesus? How was it that this man, born in a manger, living in a city like Nazareth, in a backwater country of the Roman Empire, a Jew, a small people in the world at that time, is acclaimed as God's son? Doesn't that kind of particularity somehow make invalid the eternity of the truth of God in Jesus Christ? Good ones. I've heard people say that. that historical particularity vitiates eternal truth.
Is there another way, though, for God to truly connect or reveal himself to be? I mean, there are a variety of ways, but it seems mm-hmm. that...
Through the Spirit, as we've mentioned.
Yeah, that particularity poses problems, but it's also... It's one of the beautiful things, I think.
It's one of the most powerful
The parts. Incarnation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. It is an act of communication mm-hmm. in a very real sense, that God speaks our language. How does the incarnation not just give us a message, but somehow give us God? And what does that mean for us?
I'm not sure if I understand.
To me, somehow you can read all kinds of scriptures, you can hear all kinds of messages, but with Jesus you could touch, you could see, you could feel, and in fact John, First John does that.
Yeah.
What was from the beginning, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we've beheld and grasped. Mm-hmm. The Greek word there is handled.
Yeah.
Very tangible.
Concrete sort of language.
Concerning the word of life. And life is not biological life, mm-hmm. although it includes that.
Well, I think it, to me, it means that everywhere else in Scripture, we have people's testimony of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But with Jesus, we have Jesus himself. I mean, it's still at the testimony of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes.
But we see Jesus. We see God.
Yes.
And to me, that is what does the transformation. And I think just recently, I was on a mission trip into the Philippines, and it was a fascinating experience. But as I was preaching, using a translator and drawing on my own illustrations from my own cultural context, it just hit me that what we really need is someone who's a Filipino, who speaks Tagalog, who knows the culture, knows the customs, to be able to be there and be the one, ultimately, as the best witness. I mean, God bless still our efforts, but a greater witness would have been someone there.
Yeah.
And I think Jesus was that.
Yes.
He was God in the flesh. And that's what we need to see.
Second Corinthians 5, God was in Christ, reconciling the world. When we sit in our sorrow, when we sit in our loneliness, we have Jesus beside us. He's tangible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God with us. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, thank you for this discussion together. How wonderful Jesus is for each one of us and for the world. Thank you, and my thanks also to John Campbell, our program engineer, and for Good Word, this is Bruce Johansson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.